I greet you tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. It's so good to be with you tonight. Thank you, Brother Mike, for the opportunity to come back to Oak Lane and to preach for you tonight. Get to see all of our friends. If I didn't get around to shaking your hand and saying hi, so hi. And I'm sure glad to see you tonight. Good to be with you for sure. Well, we're close to home, aren't we, folks? We're close to home. And anybody who's read this old book, any brotherly old die, can just listen to the names on the news and put them in scripture now, can't you? That close to home. But I'll tell you what, my, what a day awaits us, church. What a day. You talk about a camp meeting, we're going to have one up there, buddy, for sure. And won't even have to go home or drive to it. I'm going to fly to that one, I promise you, for sure. And it's always fun to see old people and to see what they say to you. You never know when there's guys like Chris Taylor in the crowd, what he's going to say. What do you think he said to me? Hey, old man. Man, when you get to be my age, I'm like Minnie Pearl, I'm just glad to be here, glad to be anywhere. And a lot of things happen as we get older. My forgetter works real good now. How about yours? I've got my dear mother-in-law. She don't like to be mentioned from the pulpit, or her daughter, that's my wife sitting by her. They want to hide from me when I'm in the pulpit. They're afraid I'll tell some of their peculiarities or something like that. But my mother-in-law comes up with some good ones. And she's second in line in her family of four daughters. And the older one said, you know, I forget that I'm going to forget. Now hang with me. In other words, I don't write it down and such. I think I'll remember that and I forget it. Anybody like that here? I read something I thought was real cute the other day and fits so good. This old gentleman had become the age that I am, had maybe a little bit beyond me. And he and his wife had been married 65 years. That's a long time, the same woman, isn't it, then? And anyway, they were, the kids were giving them a special time. And Grandpa always called his wife, honey, darling, baby, sweetheart, and things like that. And one of the little boys had heard that and said, Grandpa, you and Granny have been married for 65 years. How come you still calling her sweetheart and honey and baby and all of those names? He said, I'll tell you, son. 15 years ago, I forgot her name. And he said, I'm afraid to ask. And some of you can identify with that. But I'm so glad to be with you tonight. Thankful for this opportunity to see old friends and preach your brethren. And I'm looking forward to every service and been praying for everyone that's going to be in this pulpit. I've tried not to be selfish in it. I want to be anointed, and I want God to use me greatly, but I'm just a part of the kingdom, and I want God to use me in that place. And what a blessing it is to have a camp meeting. Number 20, Brother Mike, is that right? Some of the best preaching in the world has went out from behind this pulpit, excluding me. And there has been some of the greatest preaching from this church here that's made a difference for the kingdom. I feel confident. I'm thankful that Brother Mike is still carrying it on. All right, let's get into the Word. Going to make some honest confessions with you tonight. I don't believe ever in some 54, 55 years of preaching the Bible that I've ever been as perplexed over a message as I am with this one. I don't know why. I thought, God, you know somebody's going to be there that I don't know about that's going to need this. Or you got a purpose that's higher than my thinking. And I don't understand why. But God wouldn't let me go. And I said, God, if this is not it, please, please don't let me drop the ball. Put something else in my heart. And God just wouldn't seem to do it. So I'm going to obey him, and I'm going to do my best to say what thus saith the Lord, and let God use me tonight and preach through me. I've got nothing to hide. You know me better than some of you wished you did. And such is that, so there's nothing to prove to you. So take your Bible, and just to respect the old book, could I ask you to stand tonight to show that I respect the old Word of God. We're going to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, and we're going to chapter 16. And I'm going to read verse 7, 13, and verse 14 in your hearing. I know that this will not be as far as new scripture, that you who read through the Bible yearly and who have been in the Word for a good while as you have, it's not going to be a new thought to you, but I believe it's a message that you don't probably hear preached or haven't heard preached, so may it be something that God will speak to us from. Chapter 16, verse 7, if you're there, would you say amen?
Amen.
And the angel of the Lord found her, that's Hagar, by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. Look at verse 13 and verse 14. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her. What'd she call him? God. Thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahairoth. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. I'm going to give this sermon a title, if I can do so in your hearing. The Well of Beer Lahairoth, which simply means God lives and God sees me. And I want to tell you that if you will let those two thoughts become real to you, it will forever change your life and the way you order your life to realize God is real and God sees me. The psalmist said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Let's pray over the old book. Father, tonight as I bow, such an unworthy head over the old book tonight, I just want you to be lifted up, Lord. I just want somebody to be helped. Somebody, Father, to be maybe restored in the faith. Somebody come to know you as their Savior tonight. Please let a great anointing rest upon me. And Father, I pray for the men that will follow, that God, your anointing is going to rest and go from night to night and day to day, and that we will have been in the presence of God when the final amen is given. I'm trusting you, Lord. I've done what I can do as a human to study the Word, to pray, to invoke others to pray for me. And I'm asking you tonight, please take the service right now. Let this be the one that I've hoped for all of my life. And oh God, may it be the one that we'll all leave here saying, my God lives and my God sees me. Have your way in the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing to the Word. My message tonight unfolds around Abraham, Sarah, and Sarah's maid Hagar. We're going to look at the trials for a while and the sin of subterfuge that they committed. But yet I want you to see the providential care of God through all of this. Job said, he knoweth the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. This is the Abraham that received the Abrahamic covenant. That God literally said, Abraham, I'm going to make your seeds as the stars of the heaven for multitude, and as the sands of the sea, which are innumerable. Giving thought to that promise and that covenant. Kind of keep a time scale in your mind. Are you aware that is something like probably 25 years from the time that God gives that covenant until the time that Isaac is born in his family. Some of you tonight think, I've waited a long time, and I guess God just hadn't heard. There's a silent test going on in your soul because it seems God's quiet. But I want to tell you, just because God is not always talking doesn't mean God isn't always working. And behind the scene, this dear man is going to have two sons. As you look at the scenery here, and behind it, you're going to see that God is a faithful God who cannot lie, and what God promised, He will do. If you don't believe me tonight, part of the Abrahamic covenant is sitting here before me, that I'll give you a promised seed, Abraham. And that's children of God that's been born through that seed. We are the elect of God, Pastor. We are the promised children. Amen. You say, I can't endure. You can't endure. You're the promised child. You can in that regard. And when God said, and this is my thought, and I'm above 40, and I don't have to follow anybody's commentary, I can believe what the Holy Spirit makes real to my heart. Amen. God said, I'm going to give you a son, Isaac. It's going to be his name. And his seed's going to be as the stars of the heaven. And I've stood at time, and Brother Jamie looked up there, and the sky's covered as far as I can see on a clear night. And God said, I'll make you seed like that. I think that spoke of that seed of Isaac. And then he said, I'm going to make your seed as the sand of the seashore. That's going to be Ishmael, Brother Jamie. And he's going to be as the sand of the seashore. I know it's speaking of the numerical system. But I want to tell you, stars are a blessing, Leo Di. My old daddy, bless his heart, he couldn't hardly read, but he could read the stars. And he taught my son coon hunting. Brother Harless, he'd say, now son, look right over here. And he'd point that out to him. That's Eastern Star over here, son. And he pointed out, and Morning Stars are coming up, son. And boy, I tell you, when you're lost, Brother Mike, and you can see those stars, the blessing, you know where you are. Isaac of his seed, which come Jesus Christ, has proved to be such a blessing to all of humanity. Look what a wonderful life we've got because of Christ Jesus. Boy, I know the camp meeting hadn't been going long, but it makes me want to have a running spell to think how good God has been to us. Blessed us abundantly. If you don't think He's blessed you, how'd you like to be in Ukraine tonight? And geographically, we've been blessed. We have been blessed because of the seed of Isaac through Abraham. Sand is abrasive. Brother Leo's a mechanic. Brother Leo, if you take an old rusty fender and send it to guys that's got sand blasters, what can they do? They'll cut all the rust, all the paint off of that, and you'll get it back and it's cleaned. Is that right? But sand is abrasive. Have you ever got sand in your shoe? Have you got sand in your undershorts? I got sand in the sheets on your bed, and it's irritable, isn't it? Ishmael is going to be a wild man whose hand is going to be against every man and every man's hand against him. And so it is even tonight. God's promise was right on that. But to tell you, the morning star can come up in your life tonight, which typifies grace, typifies a Jerusalem from above, the mother of us all. Not to Sinai in Arabia, but a new Jerusalem. Amen. Hallelujah. Sarah is the matron of faith, pictured as submission, calling Abraham Lord. She received the promise of God through patiently waiting. Now,
She's the mother of Isaac. Brother Ellis knows she's the free woman. Corresponding with Jerusalem from above, the mothers of all. And when she gets the promise, she's near 90 years old, and she's going to have a child. She's done give up. Preaching to a lot of adults, you understand fully that she and Abraham had actually reached past the place in life that they could bear children. But there's one thing we rule out. God. God. Was it if God could speak to a man by the name of Adam and from the dust of the earth create a man, is there any problem for him to give Sarah a baby? No, not for a moment. Don't limit God by your inabilities in that regard. Let's introduce Sarah just for Hagar now, rather, not Sarah. Hagar is an Egyptian slave to Sarah. She's the mother of Ishmael. Abraham got two things down in Egypt, a woman and wealth, and they both cost him greatly. I must admit, I'm sympathetic with Hagar. I don't know what your thinking might be. She's victimized. She has no choice of her own in matters. She's just a slave. And she literally could have been put to death at any time by displeasing her master. She's from Egypt. All she knows is a god that's a bull. Or a god of the Nile River. Or some man-made god. When she becomes Sarah's slave. There develops a problem in this relationship. It's a lack of faith. Consequently, a lack of fruit. Now, Abraham and Sarah are beyond the age of childbearing. There's no one to be an heir of their wealth. No one to leave anything to. If so, he could have left it to just Eliezer, his greatest servant. But still, it wasn't like passing on what you've got to your children. Remember, it's been 25 years since he's received the promise. Still no children. He's near 100. Then comes a proposal from Sarah. Abraham, since you and I have passed age of bearing children, I've been thinking, Abraham, I have this slave girl, my maid, by the name of Hagar. She's a young woman. Abraham, you can take her as your wife. And you can have children. She can bear them upon my knees. And by proxy, I'll take that child and make it our legal heir. And we can have children in our home. Well, that's acceptable around the Canaanites in that area. That a man could have more than one wife. But let me tell you, in God's way, it wasn't so. This is the sin committed. And when I think about Abraham, Jeff, when we think of this perfect man, or Sarah, this perfect wife, I want to tell you that Joy Wilson, they were people too. And sometimes their faith wobbled. Sometimes as the years come and go, they literally begin to think God's forgot. So we got to help God out then. And that's what the sin of subterfuge is, helping God out. In reality, it was the fleshly way of seeking God's blessing. It's a total impossibility, though, to have the will of God from the perspective of the flesh. God's plan wasn't that he have children by Hagar. This was their idea. Did the covenant only pertain to Sarai? Could it not be carried over to Hagar? Oh, but that wasn't God's way. That wasn't God's way. And when you look at, here is an instance of the flesh and the spirit being at war. I found that it's an impossibility to please God by rationalizing and responding to the flesh. Faith is living without scheming. Now, I'm guilty, and I imagine this crowd is, of the sin of subterfuge. Helping God out. And when God says, pray and wait, Brother Leo, we'll pray, but we don't like to wait. I was born in a hurry. And I've always been in a hurry. Can't stand to be late. Dad just raised me that way. Can't help it. He said, boy, if you're riding with me, you'll be in that truck when it starts. How many of you had a daddy like that? And when it come to going to church, Pastor, Dad thought we had to be there at least an hour ahead before church started. He said, you might have a flat, son, and you'll be late otherwise. And boy, Dad would be there. And he'd have the fire built, the doors open at our little church, and we're ready to go to church when church time finally comes. And I've just been raised that way. Brother Ted, I can't help myself. I can't get over it. I don't like to wait. But I want to tell you, if you have God's best, you will learn to wait in faith upon God.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead and shout. And every time, Brother Ellistore, that I move ahead of God, it doesn't work right. And then God will show up and show me what it could have been had I waited. There's some kids here tonight. Look up here at this old gray-headed preacher, would you? I want to include something for you. I told you I'm always in a hurry. How many of you got some chickens at the house? And they set on nest. And they hide their nest sometime, or they gather those eggs up, lay a nest full, and they set on them. You listen to me, little ones? It takes a particular time ordained by God for those eggs to hatch. That's right. 21 days. You're right on. And Brother Kirk, since I'm in a hurry, I'm checking to see if they've hatched. And I see this little peck, 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 kids. And I see a little beak making its hole out. And since I'm in a hurry, I thought, I'm going to help that little chick. And so I moved in on God's time, kids, and I began to help him peck. And I thought, I'll just peel that off, save him all that work and all that chirping in there. But you know what I did, kids? I killed that little chicken when I tried to help him. And a lot of times we kill God's blessings by trying to help God. I wore some of you kids out on preaching to you about waiting on God to bring the right mate in your life.
Amen.
I told you again and again and again and again, you don't go looking for a mate. If you do, you'll find one, but it may be the wrong one, and you'll spend all of your life with a sad mate, and you sad because you moved out of the will of God when you moved in the flesh. And when you literally put this in the spiritual sense, God, who is above all, sees all. And at his right time, God's able to bring those he ordained to be together at the right time. Now, I'm not going to ask you, since you're all perfect men, how many of you ever buy a car that in 2 days you was flat sick of? You bought a lemon. You didn't pray about it. It just took your eye. And you thought, man, I'd look good in that. Man, that's a pretty car. And you convinced your wife, Joy Wilson, that that's just the one. It's just, boy, it just fits. And you hadn't got that home 2 days. And there's sawdust in the oil and the rear end. And you've got a clunker sitting in your driveway. And payments coming due every month. And then God shows up with one. Your church people have said, hey, Brother Mike,
We're going to be trading. We got a really good car. Do you need it? And you got a clunker there with sawdust and the oil to keep it quiet. It won't run, it won't start. We adults are guilty of helping God out when all the time God's going to give you one. Yeah. Amen. Now, that's just me that does stuff like that. I know you'd never do anything like that. And Abraham and Sarah thinks God's forgotten his covenant. God's forgotten his promise. So we're going to help God out. Here's this maid that you can have. And she can be your wife. You can have children by her. I'll claim the kids. And therefore, it'll just be all took care of. I got it masterminded. Is there any women that are good masterminding? Please don't throw your purse, please, ladies. Some of them makeup jars are glass. And I don't want to eat one before I go to bed. And she's got this situation mastermind, hadn't she? How it's all going to work. There was just one thing. It wasn't working with God's plan. It was the sin of subterfuge. She's helping God out. Now stay with me. It's going to get better. I promise you. And I'll end on a good note. I promise you that. Standing over the old book, they paid a price for moving out of the will of God. They paid a price for getting ahead of God, not waiting on God. Hagar soon conceives, and the first domestic problem ever appears right there with Abraham and Sarah. Sarah's envious of Hagar. She can do something I can't do. She can have children. And I don't like her now. And probably Hagar had a little bit of a attitude. I'm going to have a baby. And you get the first family problem going on. And you know what Sarah does then? Abraham, my sin be upon you. And Abraham snaps right back and says, she's your maid. You do with her as you like. And so literally, Sarah dealt, the Bible said, hardly with her. And the Bible says, Hagar flees. Yes, Lord. You know where she's going back to? Back to Egypt. Back to heathen gods. Back to the old way of life. Now you get this with me, please. In essence, Brother Randy, she's going across the Sinai Desert weeping a broken marriage. Dealt hardly with Sarah, carrying a child in her womb, not a penny in her possession, nothing to eat, no water to drink. She's cast out. Now, I understand Scripture. I've read the New Testament that this is right on the plan of God. It's going to take care of all of this. She comes to a well called Beer Lahaira. The first time in Scripture it's mentioned, the angel of the Lord spoke to her. Now get that. The first place that the angel, who is the pre-incarnate Christ Jesus, speaks to her. Let me tell you, what great comfort there is in that. She's a heathen. She's a slave. She's worthless. She's been raised as a slave. And all she has known till the time she met Abraham was false God. But God speaks to her. And when I read that, I see God's great love for sinners and God's great love for heathen.
Beloved, there was a time that you and I could have been considered heathens. We were living in the flesh, not in faith. We were living our lifestyle as we wanted to.
For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being justified by faith, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And while I, a man different than Hagar's situation, the truth of it was, I'm no different than she was. I was a sinner. Egypt was my buddies and my friend, the world, just as it was yours. And no money and no help. But thank God for Jesus. He speaks to her at the well. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, isn't it amazing you knew her name? He's a God that sees. He's a God that knows. Whence cometh thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. Hey, she's talking to the Lord. And the Lord's talking to her. Isn't that amazing? And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hand. Wow. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I'll multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. He'll be a wild man, his hand against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all of his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seeth me. For she said, have I here also looked after him that seeth me. This happens, beloved, at the well of Beer Lahaira. Because he lives, he can see me. Because he lives, he can see, speak, and he can recognize my need because he lives. Oh, thank God he's alive. We just celebrated Easter. Really, we ought to be celebrating it all year long. The main theme of our preaching ought to be, he's alive. He's alive, and he sees me, and he's talking to me. He's omnipotent, Elistor. Got all power in heaven and earth. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And Hagar's meeting, she calls him, Brother Leodai, Lord. Lord. I'm not going to cross argumental lines here, but she's had a meeting with God right there. And let me tell you, oh, that today all of my family might discover that he's alive and he sees me. All around me, lost people might see that God is alive and real. Oh, our churches be filled. This town would be full of witnesses. And there would be a testimony of Jesus Christ if we would have an experience like she is having there. Those heathen God pastors never spoke to her. She'd never heard a voice from one of those because they're dead. They can't speak. But this time, at the lowest moment in life, God found her by a fountain of water. Thank God. And today, God calls upon us to show the world that he's alive. People don't want dead religion. I don't either. I don't like to go to church where they just go through a bunch of motions and ritualism is carried out and they call it church. I want to go where he's worshiped. I want to go where he's real and alive. And they know that he's alive right now and sees them.
We got to show the world that he's alive, Brother Larry. And I want to tell you today, that can only be accomplished through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord.
It can only be accomplished through the Holy Spirit in our midst and upon our lives.
Amen.
You can be the best preacher in the world and never have a convert. You can be the best thing in the world and never touch anybody's life. But you fill a man up with the Holy Ghost and the singer with the Holy Spirit, and people will leave there saying, they got something I need.
Amen.
God surely must be alive.
Yes, Lord.
I mean, you've become concerned about our churches today.
Oh, yes.
I'm probably the oldest preacher here. Probably, in honesty, I say this, give him honor for it. Probably preached longer than anyone here. People, I'm deeply concerned.
Yes.
We've learned to have church without the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Tried to continue in the flesh what begun in the Spirit.
Uh-huh.
Paul called them foolish Galatians, didn't he?
Yeah.
And you get on the same page with me for a moment. And I'm not going to just tell about what it used to be and how it used to be, but I'm old enough that I'm bothered greatly with what I see. In an age given to entertainment, professionalism, trained speakers, we've left something out, Brother Randy Hicks, the power of the Holy Spirit. And my heart is so hungry for it. I don't know what to do except the church, to tell the church that we need to repent and get back where we used to be and where we know we ought to be, and stay there till God endues us and fills us again. And when the Bible said, be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit, he spoke with a verb usage that said continually, continually, continually be filled with the Spirit. I like to talk about the way it used to be, but telling folks about the way it used to be with nothing today gets no results.
God help us to get hungry for a sovereign move of God.
What is your church doing that would convince a lost world that
God's alive? Oh, we're just a loving people full of charity, and we feed a lot of people. Why? I didn't get anybody saved.
Oh, we got great singing.
You can turn the radio anytime, day or night, or punch a button and have the best singing in the world.
Yeah.
Bill Gaither's probably made a fortune off of having good gospel singing. And oh, you ought to hear that preacher of ours. He's just like Apollos. Beloved, if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, it will never produce the spiritual results that are so desperately needed in this hour.
But Hagar has an experience with the Lord, she said. And when she had this experience, she said, he's alive. He's alive.
Not only is he alive, he sees me.
God's above all. I grew up, Melvin Wolf sang in an old song, there's an all-seeing eye watching you. You remember that old song? Watching you, watching you. And I remember singing that and hearing the parts of that song. And it convinced me that God saw everything about me. He sees all, both good and evil. When you do good, I'm convinced he sees it. And he has a book that is written in. And God puts it down to your credit and your blessings.
Beloved, I grew up singing, "My God keeps a record of every moment I'm living down here." He knows all about me.
Thank you, Lord.
What did that do for you, preacher? It gave me a sin consciousness, Brother James Edwards. Yes. God was watching every step that I took.
Yes.
God was listening to everything that I said. And God knew every thought that I had.
Right.
Wow. That puts things in a different perspective about God when we look at it in that viewing, doesn't it? But Hagar says, "My God sees me. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to shew himself strong behalf of those that love him." I say to you, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids try the children of men. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The word, when I look at the sea, is connected closely with watch, isn't it, Brother Mike? To look, to behold. Several of you have got children. Some of you have got grandchildren. Don't ask me to babysit. I'm a terrible babysitter. I get involved in whatever I'm ever doing and forget all about kids. To watch them and such. But my kids had a dear mother that they didn't make a move but what she knew it. Do you have one of them kind of mothers, Mike? It must be a God-given ability, because us old dad don't see nothing. Amen? Mama sees it. And like you said, you thought your mama had eyes in the back of her head. She could be looking that way and say, get your hands out of the cookie jar. And you wonder, how in the world did she see that? And know where you've been without being there and such. Oh my, it'll give you a sin consciousness. And that's a good thing. It'll keep you from evil, knowing that God's watching. God sees. And watching kids are the hardest jobs in the world. Can you imagine what a job the Lord Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father, has watching you? Can you imagine being the Lord and had to watch Jeff Webbs and Kirk Waters? I'd have come a long time ago and called a halt to this. If I was the Lord, wouldn't you? I believe they tried God's patience even, don't you? What a blessed thing. Thank God he watches us. Years ago, building a church, Fayetteville, Arkansas, working as a carpenter on it, I was walking a beam. I used to be young and active. And I was walking a beam, 2x12 beam, over concrete floor, over a basement, thinking nothing about it. I stepped out there, Larry, and started on that thing, and it wasn't tied off, you know what I mean? And that wall began to go, whew, whew, whoop, and here I am, whoop, whoop, whoop. And I just knew I was going to fall. There's a concrete floor under me, 8 foot down. How many of you know it hurts to fall on concrete, on 8 foot, on, especially when you land on your head? And I closed my eyes, Terry, to not have to watch this. And all at once I felt a hand, seemed like. And that beam just went, whoop. I just walked on over there like a kid on the sidewalk. Nobody knew what's going on. I tell you what it was, Jim Knapp. It was a God that was alive and saw. And I was in trouble. And I wonder how many times every one of us have been that close to being killed or in danger situation. But thank God to God that she met was alive and could see her. I've needed that hand a lot of times in my life, haven't you? And I'll need it some more the rest of the way. There are several widows in this service. My mother-in-law's here. I love you, Deb, probably as much as any man ever loved a mother-in-law. She lives alone. Oh, I know she got Connie and she got Beth and Morse and Mark, and they all do the best they can. There sits Sister Beecham. There sits Sister Wilson. And there's widows sitting all over this building. And I thought about you. Now, you won't admit it. And you probably, maybe I shouldn't go this far, but Sister Wilson, I will. You've cried in the bed a lot of times in the dark by yourself, haven't you? Yeah. Sister Beecham, Brother Aldous is gone. Gone on to heaven ahead of you. There says Sister Dotson back there. You guys have cried a lot of times by yourself. I didn't realize what it's like. Lost Dad and Mom. I'd ministered to a lot of people, and I'd tell them God's with you.
Yeah.
And I believe He was. But when God called my dad home, my mom, now there's my mother-in-law, I began to realize some things I'd never seen like it before. Death can bring tremendous loneliness, can't it? And even though you got everything you need to wake up and the bed's empty, where there was a mate for 60 to 70 years would be sound asleep and you could lay your hand on his shoulder and feel the warmth. I want to tell you though, you got a God that's alive and a God that sees you at that time.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You've got a God. Hagar said, made a great discovery, changed her life. He's alive and He sees me. And when you think nobody else is awake, nobody else understands, there is an Elohim God that still has all power in heaven and earth that sees you at times like that. Some of you teenagers that I've been blessed to see grow up, you're going to be leaving home, having your own home that's ordered by God, and you're going to be out from under a loving father's authority. And a loving mother that's took care of every need you've ever had. Oh, they'll be there, but life will be different. I want to say to you, teenager, you lean heavily upon the Lord. Because He's looking and He's seeing you. And helping you even at that. Father, inflation's gone crazy. Everything from a milkshake to a tank of gas to a load of lumber, it's just gone crazy. And you're working hard, Dad, saving all you can to keep the table filled and the bills paid. And you probably said to your wife, I don't know how, but I want to tell you there's a God that's alive that sees the predicament that you're in. And the situation you're in, Father. And let me tell you, God is for fatherhood. I promise you all the way.
Yes.
Mothers, nobody loves children like mothers. And I'm preaching to several of you that are praying for children that are out of the will of God tonight. And your heart is broken, the truth of it is. That there's not a conscious waking moment. That there is not a heavy burden upon your heart for a prodigal that's in the far country. And you're afraid for him and scared for him because you know what the world does. But I want to tell you, there's a God that sees that child. And a God that has all power that can speak to their heart and bring them home. Danny Sparks, would you stand up, please? Just stand up, Danny, for a moment. Chris, would you stand up? There's an answer there of a God that sees and a God that's alive. And when a boy is in the far country and father prayed and seeking God's face for his soul, God sees it. God sees. You can be seated. Thank you. I wouldn't do that just to everyone. But mother, you and daddy that's praying, seeking God for that child, remember what a situation Hagar was in and how God intervened for her. I come down to the preacher. I love preachers. I love young preachers. It's been a crown delight in my life to have men called to preach and to know and preach for a lot of young preachers. There's not a pastor here but what would admit the enormous weight you feel upon your life and upon your heart of shepherding a flock during days of the pandemic, during the days that are going on in America today. A nation that's left God out totally. Pastor, there's a God that lives and sees where you're living and what you're living through and what you're trying to do. Be encouraged from the well of Beer Laharo. Be encouraged. Drink from that well tonight. I bring you to the last part of my message. The angel of the Lord looked upon Hagar and spoke to her. And I began to think, and you know, there's significant wells in the Bible that God did great things. I go back over to 1 Samuel, and there was the well of Bethlehem. David is in battle against the age-old Philistines, the enemies of God. And David is fighting. He's got the pressure of preserving a nation. And he's thirsty. And he said, oh, would God that I had a drink from the old well of Bethlehem. Yeah. Do you know water has got distinctive taste, Brother Arliss? And you can tell often your water, can't you, if you've grown up on it compared to others. And David is saying, I would that I had a drink from the old well of Bethlehem. And three mighty men break through the Philistines' host, fighting and killing for their king, and get him water and bring it back. And when he comes back to David, they do the water. David said, it's too precious. I can't drink it. And he poured it out as a drink offering unto the Lord. Well, that was a significant well, wasn't it? That was a significant well. Oh, there's a well over there. There's a well that a man is sitting by meditating late in the evening. His wife is coming on a camel train, a mail-ordered bride from heaven. Eliezer is bringing back Rebecca to meet her husband. Now, before you say, now, you used to preach a while ago, not just take and marry anybody. It's all right when heaven puts it together. Amen. And God draws the most beautiful picture of the bride of Christ, the church, meeting the Lord. Amen. Around the well. Oh my, life evolved around water. So does our church, Brother Leo. He said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. May it flow, Oak Lane. May it flow here forever. I come to John chapter 4. That's in the New Testament, by the way. And there's a man sitting on the well. It's kind of a special person. And a Samaritan woman comes and is there at the well. And he says, and he knows where he's going, give me a drink. And she said, what mean you to ask a Samaritan to give you a drink, seeing you're a Jew? In other words, I'm a half-breed. You're not even supposed to speak to me. He said, woman, if you knew who I was, glory, you'd ask of me, and I'd give you living water. You'd never thirst again if you drank that water. She don't know who he is. And I want to tell you, he's still got a well. He's still got a well. And he's still a God that lives and sees you. Thank God for it. Amen. Drink deeply. We need a drink today. We need a drink. And at the well of Beer Laharo, a lady heard a living God speak and say, Hagar, I see you. I've heard you. And she's crying. And I want to emphasize it again. She's expecting. Uh-huh. How's she going to feed a baby, Brother Danny Sparks? Where's she going to have him at? Her marriage is broken at this point. She's been treated hardly. Uh-huh. And God said, Hagar, whence art thou? Where are you going? And she said, I'm fleeing from Sarah that's dealt hardly with me. And God said, return back and submit yourself unto Sarah. Boy, that sounds hard. But I say to some of you, you need to come back to your master tonight. And you need to submit your life unto him. Because God's working a plan. And God's got a plan in your life. Don't go on your way. But you come back. You come back. And I want to say, lost friend, if you're here tonight, as you look, as you're thirsty, and you're searching for the throughout the world to find what will satisfy you, there's only one place.
That's right.
And that's when you draw joy out of the well of salvation.
Yes.
Oh, Brother Leo, when you're really thirsty, hot and tired and working, there's nothing satisfying like a good old cold drink out deep in the well, out of a fresh flowing spring, is there? Now, I like a Mountain Dew. I do. I'm hot and tired in the afternoon and about tail feathers dragging the ground. Just a little bit of a blessing of a little bit of sugar high to get me on to five. I suddenly become weak in the flesh, Brother Joy. Or driving to work and my eyes are heavy, a little hot coffee just seems to help. But when I really need refreshing and I really need life, I have to go back to a well.
Yes.
And in 1964, I got a drink out of that same well that that Samaritan woman drank. And literally, it put a thirst in my heart for that. And I've never found anything in this life that'll satisfy me like that. And with all of your searching tonight as a lost person, you just need to come to that same God that Hagar recognized. The well of Beer Lahairo, where God lives and God sees me. And right now, he sees every heart and every life. As I bow my head to pray and close the book on another sermon, another message, another time to get to stand in the pulpit at Oak Lane, I say to you, there's a place to come get a drink. There's a place to come meet the God that lives and sees you. And as Brother Ryan and Sister Brianna come, and I pray, would you just consider how God sees you right now and what he wants to do for you, and that he's alive and he lives forever to save, seated at the right hand of the Father. Oh God, how thank you tonight that you are alive and that you see us. God, would you please speak to every heart in this building? And may tonight we have an experience with that same angel of God. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, speak to every one of our hearts that we might see you who lives and sees. Talk to hearts right now. Holy Spirit, go. Holy Spirit, go right now. We can't commit the sin of subterfuge by trying to help you out and create you the Holy Spirit. We must have a sovereign meeting with you. No substitutes will work. We're getting further and further, oh God, away from where we need to be. And I beg you this evening, oh God, in the sweet name of Jesus, that you might talk to us and speak to us in your name, I pray. Do something right now. that only you can do. Holy Spirit, go to that person. Maybe it is that one that's weeping along. Maybe it is that one that's stepping out into the world for the first time. Maybe it is that father that's doing everything he can to make a living for his family and seem like struggling. Maybe it is that mother that's got a wayward child and they just need to see that you're still alive and you hear. Or maybe it's a preacher that wants just to throw in the towel and saying, what's the use to preach to that little handful anymore? No one's interested. God, would you please come and let us see that you are alive and that you're seeing us right now. In the sweet name of Jesus, I pray. Do something mightily. I pray in your name. Amen.